If you've got a Bible, you may want to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. If you haven't got a Bible to hand, the words will be on the screen. Just reading three verses from the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Thank God for his word to us, and with confidence ask him to apply it to our hearts. Apparently, just while the PowerPoint makes its way to the screens, apparently every 6 seconds, those of you that are drivers, every 6 seconds you should check your rear view mirror. I've already seen one husband nudge their wife and say, you never do that, but I won't out them in public because Ned won't get any dinner otherwise. But every 6 seconds... you're meant to check your rear view mirror. And I guess the theory is that you keep checking what is behind, what's going on that you cannot see through your kind of natural sphere of viewing, in order that you can have some kind of sense of what's going on behind and anticipate things that might be coming up the side or about to overtake or et cetera, et cetera. You are looking back, looking behind, in order to proceed with some degree of safety going forward. So you're looking behind in order to proceed with some degree of safety going forward. And you see, the people of Israel were characterized by that sense of looking back. You'll hear it time and time and time again in the Old Testament scriptures of the people of God looking back to that great moment in their history as a nation where God delivered the people. God set them free from Pharaoh's oppression. They were enslaved. They were bullied. They were oppressed. And God miraculously delivered them by parting the sea. And all of Israelite history is defined by God's great saving activity in the past. Because he delivered us from Pharaoh, because he parted the sea, we can know this and we can know that. And even Hebrews chapter 11, which, it's in later times that we've stuck chapter and verse numbers in Bibles. Really, Hebrews chapter 11 continues until verse 3 of chapter 12, which I've just read. And what you've got in Hebrews 11 is this great hall of fame of great Israelite heroes. Abraham, Moses, Enoch, David, all the great saints of the faith and all that they achieved. And they then form part of this great cloud of witnesses that the writer talks about. People who are ahead of us, people that have gone before, people who perhaps now are in glory, who have run the race and claimed their prize and are enjoying God's eternal rest. You see, when we look back and choose to see God's faithfulness to us in the past, it informs our confidence in him for the present. When we see God's faithfulness in the past, it informs our confidence in the present. We know that makes sense, don't we? Why is it that we use the same firm, to repair our car? If they were rubbish all the time or ripped you off all the time, you wouldn't go back. Generally speaking, you go to somebody who you rely on. Why is it that you use the same gardening firm? Those of you that are wealthy enough to have gardeners, why is it they use the same gardeners? It's because you've seen their work, you trust that they're good at it, and you don't mind them having a key to your back gate. Their character, their performance in the past means that you keep paying them. You think they're going to do a good job. And for all your gardening needs, please see Rob Collinson at the end of the service. All right? You see, you know, when God has been faithful to us in the past, that should inform our confidence in him in the present. And so, folks, look back with praise. Look back with praise. That takes a choice, a bit like I was saying with worship a minute ago. It takes a choice of perspective. We know how easy it is to look back with nostalgia. Oh, weren't things perfect? Years ago, when nothing ever went wrong, the golden age. 1982, I think it must have been, or for some of you, even older than that. But 1982 was a good year, by the way. Good year. Some great things came out of 1982. Glory to God. But we can look back with nostalgia. Weren't things great long ago? We can look back, can't we, with regret. Or with hurt. You know, things that have happened donkeys years ago, decades ago even, where we still carry the scars, broken relationships, unanswered prayer, bereavement. Plans we had and hopes for the future that ended not as we expected them to, but came in the form of disappointment. And so, and that kind of clouds our whole perspective on perhaps a season of life or even everything that is past. The Word of God, I think, says choose praise. Choose praise. Choose to be thankful. It's a decision of the mind. It's an attitude of the will. That we're to look back upon the past and intentionally trace the golden thread of God's faithfulness through the years. And say, praise the Lord, thus far you have helped us and you have never let us down. People of Israel were characterized, even in their times of exile and times of desperation, they would look back. And they would say, praise you, Lord, for what you did for us in the past. You know, gratitude and thankfulness can be hard, can't it, in a whole load of circumstances. I've just illustrated just a couple. Having a posture of thankfulness, looking back with praise and with thanksgiving, it won't change the history. It won't change what's gone before, but it will change you. It will change you. Looking through a lens of gratitude, not bitterness. Looking through a lens of praise and not sadness. That changes who we are and our whole outlook on life. In fact, so it's no surprise then that the modern psychologists or mindfulness experts encourage us to be thankful. It's statistically linked to good health. Healthy, happy people are thankful people. So adopt, as the old awful Christian adage goes, an attitude of gratitude. I know it's bad, isn't it? But it's true. Position yourself to look back with praise, to choose celebration and thanksgiving, to choose worship and thankfulness. He has not let us down thus far. Secondly, we need to look forward with hope. We're encouraged and entreated in this verse, not just to recall the great cloud of witnesses, those that have gone before, carried the baton before us, looking back with thankfulness, but we're entreated to press on to the future. Let us run with perseverance, verse 1. The race marked out for us, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. We're to look forward with hope. Because hope is something that is certain. In our modern parlance, you've surely heard this before, we equate hope with wish. We take it to mean the same thing. If I was a gambler, I might say, I hope I win the lottery. Or, last week I would have said, I hoped that England won the World Cup. Or I might have said, a hope for a bit of cooler weather. Or, whatever. Or, if I was a Derby County fan, I might say, I hope for promotion. Some of those hopes are more vain than others. But actually, what we really mean is kind of wish. I wish these things happened, or it would be nice if these things happened. That would be great. It would be lovely if I got to do this. Whereas actually, in the biblical sense, hope means something certain. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. So you know it's for the future, but you know it is coming with certainty. It is ahead, but it is and will head towards you, or you towards it. And the writer here to the Hebrews likens this hope to something definite that you're pressing on towards. Like when you are running a race. Obviously I've read, run many a race in my time. You'll see from my lean physique. Thank you, Jeff. That was an unnecessarily disbelieving cough of the throat there. But when you are running a race, or you're running along, you know that the end will come. It isn't endless. Even marathons, it may well feel endless. They look endless when you watch them on the TV. Okay, but you know there is a definitive start point, and therefore there is also a definitive end point. The end will come. Like the finishing line of a race. So the hope to which we look forward to, the hope which we persevere and the hope which we pursue for the future is sure. It is definite. It will appear. What is that hope? Well, it is the great finish line of all eternity, actually. It's the truth that a new heaven and a new earth will come. That Jesus will return and gather all things unto himself. And tears will be wiped away and sickness gone forever. And all is light and hope and joy and peace. Folks, the best is yet to be. Some of you have got good lives. Can tell by the cars you drive. But the best is still yet. I'm trying not to make eye contact with anybody in particular. Dr. Bell's on holiday. But delete that from the podcast too, please. The best is yet to be. Jesus is coming soon. And therefore our hope for the future, our hope that God will fulfill his promises, our hope that these clouds of difficulty may pass, our hope that God won't give up on us, is informed by what? God's past record. He's been faithful in the past. And so we can have a fair assumption that he'll be, in fact, a certain assumption, sorry, that he'll be faithful in the future. He's not let you down so far. What makes you think he'll let you down in the future? And so, folks, any of us, we're in Little Over Methodist Church this morning, let's put it into our, apply it into our context. I mean, this is true for eternity and universally for the church. But that means then we can be, whatever our circumstance or context at the minute, we can be hope-filled for the future of God's plans and purposes in this house, in this place. It's easy to be despondent. Easy to be cynical, even. Something that has never, ever afflicted me. But ever. Never, really. And let's just stop there. I was about to say something else. But it means seriously that the God that has preserved his people in the past is the one whose will prevail in the future and will sustain and shepherd his people. We can be confident of that. We can be confident of that. So you look back with praise, but you look forward with hope. If you're in personal difficulty, you look back with praise and you also look forward with hope. These shadows will pass. God is faithful. And lastly, and more briefly, look back with praise, look forward with hope, and look upward with confidence. All of our futures, individually and corporately, are held in the hands of Almighty God. We are held in the palm of His hand. The Old Testament tells us that underneath are His everlasting arms. And unlike me when I'm playing cricket, they won't drop us. And so when we consider Jesus, as we're entreated to in this text, and all that He has been through, all that He has suffered for us, we remember then all of God's activity, all of God's nature gives us confidence to press on for the future, but it gives us confidence and energy to persevere in the now. There is one walking alongside us who has suffered great trial, who still suffers with His people today, still bears them in their trials, still holds them, still encourages them, still wraps His arm round people at their lowest point. The Saviour that has borne us for eternity, has borne us in the past, bears us still today. And so, folks, therefore, trust in the Lord. If you have a need, come confidently before the throne of God. If your life is in need of direction or restoration, bring it again before God on the altar. Lay it before Him. Seek His wisdom and His inspiration. You know, I say I can preach this to you, but I'm rubbish at it. I am quick to panic, slow to pray. And that, you know, if I'm honest, that happens in all sorts of circumstances of life. You know, when you lose the car keys, I'm the one, you know, 10 to 10, whatever, I've got to get out for church and I can't find the car keys. I'm the one running around panic. My wife is the one saying, shall we pray about this? Pray at a time like this? I've got to get to church and preach to the people. You know, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Or even, you know, I have to say in slightly bigger things, I realise that some of you have got much bigger things than we've got going on in our lives. So, but I can only illustrate from our own experience. But, you know, we've got the removers in 2.5 weeks. Our house is a state. We're like, what? That isn't a criticism of anybody. It's just the way it is. How on earth are we going to condense all this stuff into a smaller house? How are we going to do it? So I text Laura, you know, and say, how on earth are we going to manage this? And she said, oh, it's fine. God's in control. Yeah, God's in control. Have you seen the garage? It's a good job. One of us is spiritual. If I was spiritual as well, things might have fared out a bit better. But you've got your own things that you can slot in there. Some of them are huge things. And telling you not to panic and to pray is easy to say and hard to live. I get that. But the principle still remains the same. Even if it's difficult, the principle still stands. If you're sick, come before the Lord. Seek His healing and strength. If you're in crisis, come before the Lord. Seek His inspiration and His help. If you're at a crossroads and you haven't got a clue what is, quote, the right way, come before the Lord. Because we're encouraged, or I encourage you, to seek God with confidence. Why can you be confident? It's back to the very beginning. He's got a very good track record. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Folks, adopt an attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness. Choose that as your operating mentality. Look back with praise. If you could do that, that inspires you and enables you to press on for the future. Look forward with hope. And again, informed by the past, pressing on faithfully to that which is ahead, certain that a day will surely come when these clouds will pass. Live confidently in God in the here and now. He is good. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. He will bear you
and carry you. You can rely on him. He is the Lord God Almighty, the God of heaven and earth, whose love for you and for indeed all of humanity and all of creation even endures even forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen.